that one of the huge parts of who we are and how we're made up as human beings is that we were made to belong. And that if we do not find some sort of connection in our lives, then we will miss out on kind of one of the basic needs that we have in our lives. And why do you think it is that we have this desire to belong? I mean, I know this. There are certain times in your life where it matters more. I don't know if you remember this, but I wonder if you remember your first week on campus at college. Like, anybody remember your first week on campus and you didn't really know anybody? I will give you my first week on campus when I went to college. I went to college in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My brother is a year older than me, so he was already there. So I had a few relationships. I knew some people. I didn't know Susie yet, but I'm pretty sure she was probably eyeing me from the day I walked on campus. If you want to know about life groups, just check out the chick out front that looks like she walked out of 1972. Like, that's my wife out there. She'll help you get connected to a small group today. She walked out of our closet this morning. She goes, "Does this look 70s? I was like, "How do you have all of that stuff?" Did you walk into a costume closet? I didn't even know where she walked into. And she said, "Well, look at you. You're wearing a terry cloth shirt. Where'd you pull that from?" I was like, "Marshall's. That's where I got that from. $12. You too can have one, maybe. I don't know, I may have bought the last one. But nevertheless, so I remember walking on campus, and I walk on campus, and I go to the cafeteria, and I walk into the cafeteria, and like, it's your first kind of day on campus. Like, you've got to make a good impression. You've got to look right and everything. So, like, you got to carry your tray right. And I'm like, I'm going through the line, and literally I come out of the line, full tray, and I slip on something, and I promise you, in front of God and everyone, I threw a tray 20 feet, just launched it. I'm like, no, and I'm trying, and it was disastrous, man. And I was like, this sucks, man. I mean, I wanted to just crawl in a shell, because that's not the first impression that you want to make. But now we live in a culture where we're literally belonging has moved from like just a space that is like a face-to-face space to a social space. And it's a space that sometimes like we're building and wanting to belong into an arena that is not just physical, it's now digital as well. And there is this desire to belong. How does our need to belong influence the groups that we hang out with, the political affiliations that we have? Like, and how is the church, how are we as a church supposed to respond to this God-given desire of belonging? I believe this, that last week we learned about this idea that you were made for more. And you were made so that God could love you. And I think that the church maybe over the years has done a disservice in thinking that God made you because he wanted you to do something for him. I hope that last week you walked out of here recognizing that you are made to be loved by God himself. That is your first and basic priority and purpose in life, is to be loved by a loving God who created you to love you. But he also made you to belong. We were made to belong. Hebrews chapter 2 says this: God, for whom and through whom everything was made. So it's for him and through him everything's made. He chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. God created the entire universe because he wanted a family, and he wanted you in it. He wanted you and me to be part of his family. Like, that is an incredibly humbling thing, and also it should be an exciting thing. It's like, God wants you in his family. Now, some of you don't want to be in your family. Like, you're like, you don't know my family. Like, how many of you sometimes have ever had the awkward family reunion? Just being honest, like, anybody ever have? None of you? Okay. You come to my house, I'll show you some awkward. But like, there's always like an awkward cousin or an awkward uncle and like, you're sitting there and like, you're eating Thanksgiving dinner and they're talking, and you're like, oh gosh, make it stop. Like you just are like, do you know why some of you didn't raise your hand? You're the awkward one in your family. I just realized that. You're the awkward one. And you're like, I can't raise my hand. Maybe I'm that guy. I don't even know. That would fit with Relevant Church. I will just say that right now. So, but Ephesians 1:5 says this, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We used this last week, but I want you to lean into the fact that he wants you to belong to his family. And do you know what God calls his family? God calls his family the church. Now, I will say this. The church is not a building. The moment that we think that church is a building is the moment that the church loses its power. If the church is just a building, then guess what? The church is empty most of the week. But if the church is not a building, if the church is the people that are in the building, the people who call themselves followers of Jesus, then the church, when it leaves the building, the church goes with it. And this building is just a gathering space where every week we can gather back together and celebrate all that God has done over the past week, but we can also lean into each other when the last week has been hell on earth. Like, that's what the church is. The church is a body. The church is a family. The church is there for your greatest celebrations and your worst of worst days. That's what it should be. It's not a place that you attend. It's a place that you belong. And I think that for years, what has happened in Western culture is we have made church a place to attend. And you know what? We make statements like, I'm going to church today. How many of you thought this week, oh, I got to go to church this week? How many of you, it's not a bad thing, because we all say, like, oh, I got to go to church this week. Like, but no, you are the church this week. I would just submit to you this. What church did you take with you to work this week? Because, like, that church matters more than the church you have in here. The church that we take out there is the church that really, really matters. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15 says this. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, the young pastor in Ephesus, and he says this, I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. In other words, in the church. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. Please do not miss that. The truth that we seek in our lives is found in the Word of God. It is not found, it's not your truth, it's not my truth, it's his truth. If we would get his truth right, I promise you our truth would start replicating his truth, and we would have a different culture. We'd have a different life. We'd have a different marriage. We'd have different relationships and different friendships and different businesses, because we wouldn't be living by something that is literally flawed at best. I would just tell you this, that my truth is flawed sometimes, and it's wrong. And I lie sometimes. Any of you ever lie? Okay, good. I just want to make sure that you just, I was watching some of you like, crap, pastor's a liar. And I was like, oh man, I'm the only one in here. Now I feel really weird. But like, we struggle with this. But do you know that church, if you look at it in the Greek, it's the word ekklesia, which means to be called out. So the church, the family of God, is called out. In other words, we should be a little different. We're the called out ones. The church means a group of people who are called by God. The called out. The ecclesia. The house of God. In other words, the church isn't an event. It's not a program. It's not a building. When I usually ask people, you know, what do you think the church is? Usually people think it's a building. Oh, it's that building over on the corner. My prayer is that when people say, Relevant Church, like, what is Relevant Church? They would say, oh, it's those people that go serve people. It's those people that love people. It's my neighbor who takes care of me when I have a need. Like, that's the church. When the church starts being talked about in those manners and in those ways, that's, I believe, what makes God smile, because that's what he created it to be. Church isn't something you go to. Church is something you belong to. It's not an event, and it's not a location. Church is a relationship. Last week we talked about our first order of business is to enter into a love relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ, because God created us to love us. And because he created us to love us, he didn't want us to be orphans. He wanted us to belong to something. And so he created us for relationship with him and for relationships with other people. So I loved when Justin said, you know, the interesting thing is some of the fallout, like, and I wouldn't say this is the most traumatic fallout, because when COVID-19 happened, it was devastating across the globe, with people losing their lives and stuff. But the thing that it did is it created a culture of isolation, that we could live in isolation. And while Zoom was wonderful during those times, because we could at least still meet and we could at least still have conversations and stuff, if we stay stuck in that, then what we do is we never have the authenticity that our heart desires. And so today what I want us to do is I want to unpack for you, because the church is called a lot of different things in Scripture. The Bible refers to it in different metaphors. The Bible refers to the church as a metaphor. It refers to it as a family. It refers to it as a temple. It refers to the church as a body. It refers to the church as a flock. And it refers to the church as a garden. And so those five things are things that the church does that meets the five needs that we have as human beings that we desperately need in our lives. And so today I want to unpack each of those things and share with you why each of those things matters as far as being part or belonging to the church, because you were made and I was made to belong. I will tell you this. The first thing is the Bible talks about the church as a family, and in God's family, I learn my true identity. In God's family, I learn my true identity. God made you with a unique identity. Like, you are you. And only you can be you. I want you to look at the person next to you and go, I'm unique. Just look at them and tell them you're unique. Some of you are going, oh, you have no idea how unique you are. You have no idea. Yeah, yes, you are. Yes. Yes, you are. I saw Tiffany lean over to Brian and go, you have no idea. I'm sorry, Brian. I looked out there. I saw you. It was just what I saw. I don't know what I saw. I don't know. But here's the deal. Think about this. Think about all the different ways that we try to have identity in other things. We wear brands because of identity. We wear clothing because of identity. We dress a certain style because of identity, because we then identify with ourselves. Think about this. All of the and I am not absent from this. I have fully embraced this, okay? I know that some of you realize that I have a shoe addiction, and I realize that it could be worse. So that I just say that. Like, all you got issues, we all got issues, mine is shoes, okay? That's just the way it is. And I know this, that, like, my dad's always like, why are you always advertising for those people? And I'm like, Dad, you advertise for Walmart with your shoes. I mean, you're still advertising. It doesn't really matter. Like, there's still advertisement going on. But We literally are walking billboards for the brands that we like. We're walking billboards. And it's because we want to identify. I love Jesse, one of our youth workers. Literally, if you know Jesse, you know this. Jesse has as many, like, Christian t-shirts as I have Nike tennis shoes. Like, the man has every And they're all epic. Like, I guarantee you, if you walk up into our youth room right now, Jesse has on like a Christian t-shirt that says something on it. And it's usually creative and in different ways, and it says different things. And like, he said this, he said, I realized. He said that I was identifying and I was branding stuff that didn't matter. And I started, he said, I started realizing I could be a witness by just what I wear for someone else. Like, God made us unique. I mean, how many, okay, let's just do this. We're gonna go branding. If you're an Apple user, raise your hand. If you have an iPhone, put your hands down. Android, see? Oh, look, people are like, what's that? It was definite. Like, people are like, you're one of those. Like, oh, you make all my chats turn green, like they're not blue. Like, you're that guy. That's how we identify. You know, like, we're identifying with that stuff, and like, we lean into that stuff. Like, guys, the phone you use is not who you are. It doesn't make you who you are. The brands that you wear do not make you who you are. They don't. You can't run like the track and field stars just because you wear their clothes. Just because you wear golf clothes and golf shirts doesn't mean you're a golfer. Just because you wear Columbia and you wear fishing shirts doesn't mean you catch fish. It may mean you're a fisherman, but you don't go catching. You just go fishing, and there's a difference. Just saying. Like, what do you identify with? Like, so how do you know who you really are? Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus, so now you Gentiles, outsiders, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens, along with all of God's holy people. You are members. You're participants. You've been adopted into God's family. And the problem is, if we spend our whole lives trying to look to identify with the things that are never going to last forever, what we will do is we will end up empty one day. Can I tell you this? I don't identify as an American. I am an American. I identify as a Christian who is an American. I'm not an American first. If you're America first and not a Christian first, you have it backwards. I just want you to know that. We are Christians first. And the last that I checked, every nation has always run in cycles. And look at all the nations in the Old Testament that were the greatest and grandest of nations of all time, and they all fell. And they usually fall when they become prideful in their own doing and they stop focusing on God and who they were made to be. And so I don't even identify with my own family. I love my family. My family, I love my family. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love my extended family. I love my parents. But I do know this, that one day they'll be gone too. I watch way too many marriages that focus all of their attention only on their children. And then their children move out when they're 20 or 21 years old, never to return again. And the husband and the wife look at each other after 20 plus years of marriage and go, who are you? You know why they do that? Because they didn't focus on their marriage. They made their kids their priority, not their marriage their priority. When you come to faith in Christ and then you get married, your marriage partner is your first priority, even above your kids. Now you may say, Paul, that sounds terrible. No, it's not. You know what your kids need to know most? That you love each other. That's what they need to know. What's your identity? What matters most is your spiritual identity. I know that we have several people in here who have probably either gone through AA or NA or one of those things for recovery ministry, and we've actually had a ministry here called Celebrate Recovery. Now, here's the thing why I prefer Celebrate Recovery over AA, and I do not think that AA is bad. I think AA has helped a ton of people. But when you go into AA, we can probably, whether we've been or not, we can probably all recite what you would say. Hi, my name's Paul. I'm an, right? So what is your identity? Your identity is your sin, and it's not. But when you go to celebrate recovery, here's the statement they say. Hi, I'm Paul. I'm a child of God, and I struggle with. Your first identity is that you are a child of God. And the problem is, when you identify with the wrong thing, your identity, I want to release you, I want to free you of something. Your identity today is not your sin that you struggle with the most. You need to get a hold of that. Some of you need to get a hold of that because it will free you today. It will free you when you realize that your identity is not your sin. Yes, you may struggle. You may struggle with alcoholism, pornography. You may struggle with anger issues. You may struggle with pride issues. You may struggle with any number of issues, but that is not your identity. Don't make it that. Satan would love for you to make it that, because then every time you screw up, he goes, see, told you you'd never fix it. See, I told you that's who you were. But if you're a child of God first who struggles with something, you can always go back to, I know that I struggle, but I know I'm forgiven. And I know where my identity lies. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? What I know is that in God's temple, I'm supported by others. In God's temple, I'm supported by others. I remember when Susie and I were building our house 8 years ago, and it was like every day, if you've ever built a house, like every day you go over to see what they've done, especially like in the beginning stages, you're like, they dug something. And you're like giddy. Like you're taking pictures of a hole in the ground. And you're like, woo! And like then they pour footers, and nobody cares about footers. You don't care about footers until something starts cracking. Then you care about footers. Like then they matter. And like so every stage of the game, we were over there, and we're taking pictures. And I realized this. Now one day they delivered a ton of lumber, and they laid it on this foundation, and nothing was connected. And it was just a pile of lumber. And I was like, I wonder if that's what sometimes we feel like when we're part of the church, is we feel like we're a piece, but we're not a part. On your chair today, there was a piece of something left on your chair. Some of them are like this big. I want you to pick up that piece. It's a Lego piece. It's a Lego piece. So I want you to grab your Lego piece, because your Lego piece, literally, if it is not connected to something else, it's useless. But when it is fit together, I made sure that I bought a Lego set that made a church, and it built a church. But that church doesn't hold together unless every piece gets put together with the other piece that it's connected to. And some of you don't know who you're connected to. And some of us in here, we just attend church. I don't want attenders at Relevant Church. I want you to belong. Because that's our greatest desire and need in our life, is that we belong. And in God's temple, I'm supported by others. So here's what I noticed about that lumber that got delivered. The next day, they sent a crew out. And this crew worked fast and furious. And they had our house framed in one day. And they knew exactly what pieces to connect to other pieces. And then they put all the walls, and then they put the roof on. And then they connected it all together, and they strapped them all together so that everything, so it was one unit locked in together, so that when the storms came, it would stay together. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. It says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. The church is not for us. The church isn't for you. The church isn't for me. It's for him. Like, Relevant Church, can I tell you this? If I got hit by a bus tomorrow, Relevant Church should continue. I'm not planning on getting hit by a bus tomorrow. So do not pray that over me, okay? But what I'm saying is, the church isn't about Paul Worth. The church is about Jesus Christ. In him first, It always is about him. It always has to be about him. And when we walk that way, we get to realize I'm part of God's Lego set. You're part of God's Lego set that he labeled this little group relevant. And some of you got, how many of you got a big piece? How many of you got a big chunky piece? Okay, that's a tiny piece. How many of you got a big, oh, there's a big one over there. Like, that one's huge. Some of you are like, I just got this little piece. My piece doesn't look like it's worth anything. And you know what scripture tells us? It says that sometimes even the pieces that look the least important are the most important in God's family. And when you think that you don't matter, you have missed belonging to the family of God, because every one of you matter. Every one of you. I want you to know something. It matters to me that you're here. Like, it really matters. It matters that you're part of this family, because I consider you guys family. Like, you're our family. Susanna, I don't come from a really large family. I have one brother. So I don't have a large family. I know some people have large families. Like, they have family reunions and there are a million people show up. And I'm like, we have a family reunion. It's me and my brother. Like, that's it. That's just the way it is. I have one cousin on my dad's side, one. And that's all I have. And so we're part of this family. And Romans chapter 1, verse 12 says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to see the dual aspect of that. When you belong to the right family, you get encouraged and you become an encouragement. You're encouraged and you're an encourager. Like, that's how it works. That's why we want you to belong. You know that we literally, the class that we talk about the most here at Relevant Church is our Belong class. You've probably heard it talked about a dozen times. Some of you have heard it talked about and never gone. September 15th, you should go. My hippie wife, Susie, will be there, and she's pretty cool. And she'll tell you how you can belong to this family that we call Relevant Church, because we don't want you to just attend. We want you to belong. Church is not something you attend. It's something you belong to. The third description of the church is that it's a body. It's a body. What does that metaphor mean? It kind of coincides with the other part, the Lego part. In Christ's body, you discover your unique value. You are valuable. You're valuable in God's family. God made you with unique abilities. And God wants to use each of our abilities for his kingdom and for his purpose to actually make him famous in our world. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, we were just in Romans 12 earlier. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, I want you to look at the five things where he talks about the specialness of and uniqueness of our bodies. He said, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. He says this, there's every one of you have a special function. Every one of you. So look at the person next to you and go, you're special. See, it says that can come out differently. It can come out different. I don't know how, I don't know what it means to you, but you're special. Like, because see, you can be like, no, you're special. Or you can be like, you're special. Like, it's how you deliver it. So however you want to deliver it, you just deliver that. Like, that's just, because here's the deal. We need both kinds of special. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but your pastor has been called, oh, you're special. A lot. My whole life. You're special. You're a special one. And so put that verse back up there again, because I want to unpack that just a little bit. It says, so it is in Christ's body. In the body of Christ, we are each special, we're each unique, and we're many parts. All of us have unique functions, but we're just part of one body. In that one body, all of us belong. You belong here. You are welcome and you are wanted. If you're a guest here at Relevant Church, I hope that the one thing you leave here with is that I could be part of that place. They want me to be there. Here's what I want for you more than anything else. I want you to be part of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost. And then I want you to realize that once you enter into that relationship, he says he provides a family for you called the church that you can belong to and be part of. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21 says the same thing as Romans. It says this: yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. Imagine that conversation. Imagine the conversation with your body if your body started having a conversation with itself and said, I don't need you anymore. I don't like you. Like, it doesn't make any sense. We need each other. Because if I see something and my feet can't take me to what I see, then I can't get what I need. If I could see what I need and my feet could take me there, but I could never reach out and get it, it would be useless to me because my hands didn't do what they were supposed to do. Each of you are a unique part of the body that God has called the church. And the fourth description of the church is it's a flock. And we're going to be done. We talked about this a ton. If you missed our series on Psalm 23, I want you to back up and listen to all of our series in July, because we unpack the idea that we are part of the flock of God. We are part of a sheepfold that God calls the church. We're part of the flock, and it calls it that way. It says in Psalm 100, verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. In John 10:10, the parallel of Psalm 23 says, I am the God. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In God's flock, I want you to get this. You are protected and cared for. In God's flock, you're protected and you're cared for. I want to share with you how both of those things happen. You are protected. Do you know that it is my responsibility? And guys, I will tell you this. The thing that probably keeps me awake more at night is the responsibility that I have to protect you. And I don't take it lightly at all. Scripture says that the pastor, if you look at pastor, it says the pastor protects and the pastor cares. The Greek word for pastor is poimen, which means shepherd. The pastor is the shepherd of the church. It doesn't mean, I will tell you this, it doesn't mean I'm the most important at all. It means that I lay down my life for you guys. If you've ever wondered what my job description is, I'll show it to you in scripture, because the Bible gives a job description, my job description, that I'm held accountable to by God. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. It says this: care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over them willingly and not grudgingly. Not for what you will get, but because you're eager to serve God. That's my job description. My job description is to watch over you, to protect you, to care for you, to love you, to be there for you when you need it. This past weekend, I have one of my closest friends, his dad passed away a couple weeks ago. And his funeral was in Asheville, North Carolina yesterday. And when I found out it was in Asheville, I said, I'll be there. He said, man, you don't have to come. It's on a Saturday. I was like, I will be there. You need me to be there, and I want to be there for you. It's my responsibility. I'll be there. I flew out Friday. I flew back late last night. But I wanted to be there because he's part of this flock, and he's my friend. He's not just a member of our church. He's my friend, and I want to be there. And I know that sometimes I can't be there even when I want to be there, but it's my responsibility. I want to share with you one that's probably more poignant, and you don't have it on your screens, but you can write it down if you want to. It's Hebrews 13:17. The first part of it is the part that you'll probably like, oh, that's interesting. It says this: obey your leaders and submit to them. Nobody likes that word. And that's not really the part that I'm focused on, but it says this: for they're keeping watch over your souls. That's where God says, Paul, you're keeping watch over the souls of the people that go to Relevant Church. Which means that I have to make sure that I share truth from this stage every week. That I have to share Jesus over Paul Worth theology. I've got to share theology that comes from Jesus, that's by Jesus, that's about Jesus and not about me. And here's why it says, and those who will have to give, because they're the ones who have to give an account. So let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Here's what God says, that one day you will not stand before God and give an account for Relevant Church. But God said that one day I will stand and give an account for each of you as to how I led you, and as to how I shared Jesus with you, and as to how did I share it clearly with you. And that is a weighty responsibility, and I don't take it lightly at all. And as a matter of fact, I count it a privilege. And I'm like, man, God, this, I'm the best you had. He goes, well, you're available. So I got, you know, God takes our availability, you know, not our ability. I'm just grateful for that. But I know this, that it matters. And so pastors matter. The pastors that we have on staff, they matter. That's why we have an elder board that helps us to make decisions about the pastors that we bring on staff here. So I want to make sure that they matter and that they're leaning into Jesus, because this is a family. But I want you to know that there's another arm of the church that matters and cares, and it's called small groups. Small groups protect and care. The reason we have small groups here is not so we can set out 20 tables every 6 months. It is so that we are letting you know you need to be connected all the time. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. And I want to share with you how you did that. Last week, it was kind of funny because I was kind of making light of this storm that was coming through, that we were like, it looked like a storm on any Tuesday at 3:00 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Some of y'all stayed home. I know you did, because you're like, I guess they'll be my jammies and I can watch the news and Relevant. And that's fine. That's totally fine. And so didn't think anything about it. And one of our elders, Dan, who's sitting over here with his wife, Casey, they were here last week and we were just chatting and stuff. And they live on Bullfrog Creek. And if you're from the country, you know what Bullfrog Creek is. But if you're not from the country, you don't know. He was here Sunday. We were talking about just random stuff. And then Monday, he sent me a text and I said, hey, I'll be praying for my sister-in-law who lives next door to them. He said their house flooded again. I was like, oh my gosh. And that happened, was that 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Something like that. And people at Relevant went over there and helped them clean out their house and pull their house out. And so throughout the day, I was texting Dan back and forth. I was like, hey, how's the water? And he's like, that's fine. And I was talking to Casey's sister, Brittany, and she's like, yeah, me and Casey, we were over at the park, and we were just talking. We're like, and then she goes, I looked at Casey and went, there's a lot more water here than I thought. I don't know. That might. And by 10 o'clock Monday night, Casey and Dan's house was completely flooded. And Monday night, some of you showed up at their house. Tuesday morning, when I saw what had happened, I just sent out a text message and I said, we need to get people there. And you guys went. Like, people went. People showed up with waiters. People showed up without waiters. And one of my young adult men shows up. He goes, I wasn't expecting it to be like this. I don't know that I have the right shoes. It's like, maybe you don't need shoes. But we showed up. You guys showed up. And I saw the pictures from yesterday, and literally the water is out of their house. All the old drywall is out, all the stuff, and it's drying out. And like, that's within 4 days of this thing kind of coming in, that's why small groups matter. That's why being connected to a family, it matters. Because it says we share each other's burdens. We share and we celebrate each other's celebrations. And here's the deal. It says that the law of Christ is this. When you share each other's burdens in this way, you obey the law of Christ. Do you want to know what the law of Christ is? It's found, Jesus said it in Matthew 22. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. In other words, it's equal to. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law And all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. That's why Jesus said in John 15, he said, I'm the true vine. And the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes every branch that bears fruit that it will produce even more fruit. So in God's garden, we talked about in his temple. We talked about how we are in his family, but in his garden, my life becomes productive. My life should become productive. I should be productive. John 15 says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. For every branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitless unless you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, your productivity and what you can produce without God is nothing like what you could produce with God and in part of his family. The second greatest thing that God has called you to in your life is he made you to belong. I just want to encourage you, do you belong? Like, have you found your place where you fit at Relevant Church? Today, there's an opportunity for you to find a place to belong. And so on your seat when you came in today, there is this groovy sheet. It's groovy. It's orange. We want you to find a groovy group, okay? And there are groups that meet all throughout the week. We're shifting something this year, and we're adding more groups on Wednesday night. And here's why. Because we have youth on Wednesday night. And we want to make sure that if you are a parent that has teenagers, whether they're middle school or high school, and for the off chance that they cannot drive and you have to drop them off, we realize this. You drop them off and have to go back home for 2 hours, and that could be probably problematic for you to want to drop your kid off and have your kid come to youth. So we're offering more groups. We have 5 groups on Wednesday nights, and they offer childcare so that you can come to group and your kid can come to youth so they can participate as well. So there should be no excuse for you to not be part of a group. There are all men's groups, there are all ladies groups, there are young adult groups, there are over 29 groups, and they have a lot of parties and stuff because they are over 29 and most of them, they just have more money. So if you, there you go. But there are groups for everyone. If you're into apologetics, we have a brand new study this year on apologetics on Wednesday night that's going to be led. And man, guys, there's tons of stuff out there. Get plugged in to a group. Talk to the group leaders. Talk to that hippie chick out there, Susie, and she will get you plugged in. We don't want you to do life alone. You deserve to belong. God, we pray that today you would help us to realize that we were made to belong. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen.